Play action, steps back in the pocket, being chased, hit, down he goes. Marco Coleman got it to the 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carry Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
All right, Marco, time for your money player of the game here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show as we get things started.
I'm going to go with Spark Plug.
John Chick. You're calling him the Spark Plug.
I'm calling him the Spark Plug, man. Okay. You know, he's my money player because I really think he came out and set the tone for the defense in that second half with that pressure. You saw a whole different defense once he was able to come in and get that immediate pressure on that rush.
Yeah, and a guy who has shown a little flash on a couple of occasions this year.
Yes, I like Chick. He's you need to get him out there more often. You know, you figure you got, you know, can't be running around with a bad leg. And here's a guy that's healthy and he's got some energy.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in the game, coach.
I think you may see more of that in the future for sure. All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. If you're a parent or guardian of a girl 6 to 17 years of age, stop by your local Bell store and register your child to become a member of the Junior Roar, performing at halftime during the Jaguars-Bucks game December 11th. Registration now through November 6th. For official rules, visit your nearby Bell store. And fans, you can text BBQ to 72239. Enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. We're back with more, including your calls. And if you got some good tweets you want to fire in there, you can do that at Cole Pepper. I'll be in the Twitterverse. Back with more on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelries in Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. You ready to go here on this, Marco?
Let's get it going.
We're going to start in the Berg.
Oh, up in Pittsburgh?
David was at the game today. He is in Pittsburgh. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing? All right?
Doing all right.
Yeah, David.
Hey, Marco, it's David. I told you I'd be here, brother.
Hey, man, did you have a good time? How you like that stadium,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, we had a blast up here. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Everybody's got to do it sometime. I was just – the point I wanted to make was Pittsburgh played about a quarter and a half. And if the Jacksonville Jaguars would have played maybe two quarters, I think they could have won this game.
I think they did play two quarters. It was the second half, but they were just so bad in the first half. It just, you know.
They dug themselves a real big hole.
That might very well be, but, you know, it takes four quarters to win. But it just seemed like, you know, they came out very lackluster in the first quarter. We thought they were going to get bombed, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm certain you weren't alone in that thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they came back and they stayed with the game. But, you know, there again, Pittsburgh quit playing or Jacksonville stood up. I don't know which, but, you know, it seemed like it was a battle of the I don't really care if I win today or not.
Yeah, and that's
hey, thanks for taking my call, man, and I'll see you guys the week from Monday.
All right,
definitely.
Good,
yeah,
David.
Come holler at me, David.
In.
Good to talk to you.
All right.
I mean, you know, it's really – it bothers me, too, that a 1-4 team goes on the road and in the first half they're not excited or making plays. And it goes all the way back again. I know I've mentioned it and said it before, but in the foundation of the season is in the training camp. You know, as much as players hate training camp, it's a necessity in getting yourself into a rhythm and establishing what you're going to be as a football team. And the Jaguars doing training camp.
Marco, I don't care what they would have done in training camp. When you go through three quarterbacks in 2 weeks, basically – You can't know what you're going to be.
That's part of what I'm saying. You know, they just got through it, you know, with no type of – it seemed like no type of plan for the season. To let go of David at the time that they did shows that you're not ready for the football season. There was no – to me, and when that was done, it set the tone for what I had saw during the training camp was no urgency. Mm-hmm. Here's a coach that's been here for nine seasons. The past four seasons hasn't had a winning season. You know, I got to have some urgency. I want to see somebody that really, really wants to get it done. And it translates to the players. You know, they're going to only do or perform at the level of the mind state of the coach. You see what's going on out there in Detroit. Their coach ready to fight. You see what's going on with San Francisco. These guys, the energy they're bringing as coaches is feeding into the players. And you just don't see that urgency, you know, being translated into the players.
All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to James on the west side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. James, how you doing? Hello, James.
He shut it down.
James did what the Steelers did, and he started strong and then shut it down halfway through. Let's go to John in Orange Park, who's up next. John, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good,
John.
I just wanted to call and... Basically, I was so disappointed, as everyone was, I'm sure, with that first half. But I really, I just feel the team was poorly coached and not ready to play. I was really upset in one of the graphics that was shown by the game that they referred to Jacksonville as Laxonville.
Mm-hmm.
And that just looking over the effort in general, I think that the offensive line, particularly, at times they remind me of human turnstiles. And, you know, the other thing, too, is two players in particular, all pro types, always play, you know, have been showing great effort. Mercedes Lewis, they ask him, how come you haven't made many catches so far? And he says, well, I'm a late bloomer. Well, guess what? The season's pretty much over for the Jaguars. And Rasheen Mathis, I just think that he just didn't put the effort forward. But
see, I want everybody to be speaking the same language here, and I hear a lot of fans say, well, I don't think he gave a very good effort. And effort versus productivity are two different things. You know, effort means you were trying, and if you're not trying, it's a major problem. And Marco, you know that. I mean, it's a major problem within the locker room if you're out there busting it and you see a guy who's not. I don't see it's lack of trying. I think there's certainly some lack of execution, lack of productivity, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. The other thing I want to say about Rasheen, he's had some good plays and had some bad plays. I think in general he's played better this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of times I think people just assume that if Rasheen winds up making the tackle on a pass, it has to have been his issue. Now, there was one, you know, there was one play on a long pass, I think it was to Wallace, where Big Ben dropped it right in. Rasheen had pretty good coverage, but it was just a perfect throw, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to give the other guy credit. But for whatever reason, Rasheen's become a lightning rod this year.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, but I guess the point that I really want to make is the fact that just seeing the game today, this was almost a must-win where I expected maximum effort by the Jaguars. I wasn't there. I think it's time for Del Rio to go. I think that we got a Monday night football game coming up. This team really needs a spark and a change. I think Dirk Cutter should go ahead and be promoted to head coach, at least interim until the season's over, just to get this team going and get them off to a start where they've got some got some excitement and some urgency. Because I just overall, I mean, the record that Del Rio has the last 8 or 9 games, and just this play today, I thought was just real disappointing. It was almost like they were an expansion team that first half.
Well, I mean, listen. The longest losing streak in franchise history was 7 games. That was in their expansion year. Now they've lost 5. So I'm with you. That first half was just awful. John, thanks for the call.
Yeah, if you go back to last season, they've already hit that peak.
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, I'm talking about in terms of consecutive losses.
Season.
Yeah.
Well, you figure if you go back to last year, they lost, the last 4, and then you got 5 here, that's 9.
Well, they won the opener.
I
take that away from us for crying out loud. You know, we got
win.
One win you got to talk about.
Yeah, I'm standing to be corrected.
I'm hypersensitive to this, but when you say they didn't give good effort, it means they didn't try. Are you seeing guys not trying, or are you seeing guys either just aren't good enough or aren't prepared right or make meant? Are you seeing guys who aren't trying?
Like, you know, effort, that's, you know, they are giving a good effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell that by the way that they played in the second half, that they were still going as hard as they could. But there's an intangible that you can only get, you know, from leadership, and that's from at the head coaching position. And it's established. It's developed. You know, it doesn't happen overnight to say, okay, this is a must win. Okay, six, you know, we're going 5 weeks, and now we're recognizing that a game is a must-win. What about when you were in training camp? That's when it's established. Now,
but I do think this was a must-win. In other words, we talked to this before the game. If the Jaguars are going to have any chance to win the division, they had to win this game.
And that's true. I mean, you never know, though. But if Houston loses,
things could change, but
they could be in the same position.
Well,
but back to your point as far as effort, I was told, you know, as when I played, that, you know, I can get anybody to give me a great effort, Marco. I mean, I was told that. You know, you got to make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
I brought you here to make plays. I can go get anybody, any place to run around and be tired when the game is over.
Right.
That's not hard to do.
Right.
But you got to make some plays.
And that's sort of my point, is that if people are saying they're not giving a very good effort, if by that they mean that they're not playing well, okay, that's one thing. If by that they mean they're not trying hard, that's a completely other
right.
assessment.
Yeah, you know, trying, but like you said, this is a league where they're unforgiving.
You bet.
You got to make plays.
But you absolutely – there are going to be times where the other guy makes plays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get that. But if you're not trying – you're out the door.
Yeah, come on, Mercedes. Ball hits you in your hand.
But again, that
you
got
to make that catch. I'm just saying that's not an effort problem.
Right. Exactly.
That was an execution problem
right.
on your part.
Right.
You know. So.
And so effort again. Effort. Fire a guy if he doesn't give you the effort. If a guy doesn't, you know, doesn't execute, then it's either can you improve it, or then do you find
or
a replacement?
Need somebody else. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Ronald, who's at Georgia Southern, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Ronald, how you doing?
Doing good. How about y'all?
Good.
Oh,
doing good.
What's on your mind?
Well, first, I just like to talk about, you know, the miscues that, you know, you give Mike Thomas this 3-day extension for $18 million, but
yeah, he's not exactly
run the route.
He's not exactly played like a guy who is trying to earn it, does he?
And I don't think so. I mean, if there's anybody we need to give a new contract to, it's probably Jason Hill, because he was the most productive wide receiver we have.
Well, again, obviously he had the touchdown catch, and in terms of yards, the problem is, as far as the Jaguars wide receivers, none of them are playing the position that they should be playing. And I don't mean that they should be playing something other than wide receiver, but Mike Thomas is not a number one. Jason Hill is not a number two. I mean, you know, maybe Jarrett Dillard's playing about where you'd mm-hmm. figure he would play, which would be a complimentary guy. The Jaguars need a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
Listen,
do you think we should trade for Brandon Lloyd?
No. Why would you trade? What are you going to trade now, and what good is it going to do to trade now? You know.
He's a spot wide receiver right now. We don't have any spark in the
past. Brandon Lloyd's got some issues on his own. He's got some baggage to come with it. And frankly, what the Jaguars need is not Brandon Lloyd, who's been, you know, who's maybe, you know, I don't know that I'd categorize him as a pure one. You know, he's a one or a two. What the Jaguars need is a Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, you know, Greg Jennings, somebody like this. That's what the Jaguars need, is a guy who's going to command, you know, the coverage attention.
That dominates.
Yeah, they can dominate. Calvin Johnson didn't catch a touchdown today.
But all attention.
But he had over 100 yards, and they were doubling him every time. That, you know, so he changes things, and that's what the Jaguars are lacking.
I mean, it just seems like I want to win more than the Jaguars. Sometimes my Sunday afternoon are brutal.
Listen, that's called being a fan, and you're invested in it. But I guarantee you that the players dislike losing more than you do.
I mean,
when your team loses, you're in a bad mood. When you are on the team and they lose, you might be out of a job. So they got more on the line as far as
which that's the case right now. You figure if they change the coach, which I think I think they should just do a whole scale change. They can change. I like Gene. He needs to go to bring in a whole new deal. And now these players that are here, you're going to be evaluated by another group of people. So now they're going to put on the film and see how you did. And should we keep this guy? Is he worth keeping? And it will definitely – the coach leaves, there's going to be some personnel changes also, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, because at first I was aiming towards Derek Cutter. Was like, okay, we need to get him out of here. I mean, since that third and fourth call that we call a run, basically with Dodgy and Kareem. But as I look, Coach Jack Del Rio was standing right there, so he could have changed that because he is the head coach.
No, you're right. The buck stops with him, and I think it's clear. There's no more blame on assistant coaches, because Jack's been through too many of them, right? I mean, this is what it is. This is Jack's season for as long as it is.
He said it after the game. I take full responsibility.
I tip my cap to him for doing that, for saying that. But even if he didn't say that, it doesn't matter because it's on him.
It's on him.
I mean, you know, it's like saying, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and abide by the rules of gravity. Well, you can say you're not. You're still falling when you jump out of the tree.
There it is.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll come back with an injury update, more of your calls and tweets as well. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show straight ahead here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pemper, Marco Coleman here. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Only injury coming out of the game, Rod Isaac had a hamstring, but Evan Britton's back injury, how much of a factor do you think that played in the Jaguars' performance in the first half, not having Britton in there where they expected to have him at right tackle and having Whimper over there at left tackle?
Well, you know, I didn't think that, you know, what's his name, the rookie that came in,
Bradfield
did a bad job. Mm-hmm. You know, what is Rackley just going to have to step up and play better? You know, he's in there, he was expected to play, and he hasn't performed well. So, in that regard, you know, it may have been a little bit of an issue, but they were running the ball decently. I think the issues with handling the pass rush was more so guys coming free and communication. Now, I don't know if that was quarterback, center. Somebody's got to establish who's the right guy to block.
Well, or maybe that has been established, and he's got to make sure that he follows through on it. You know, Rackley, the word on him, physically he's got it. He's just got to, you know, he was a left tackle in college and at Lehigh. So you're talking about making an adjustment of position and
level of play. Guys he play
so,
against.
I'm not ready to give up on the guy, but he's got to play better if he's going to stay in there at this point in time, for sure. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Sean in Pontevedra is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Sean, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to bring up first the point brought up by the last caller. He was talking about how Del Rio and the coaching, and you gotta admit, Del Rio's had two coaching gaffes that have cost the Jaguars a lot of play time with the Carolina, and then also he took, I think, maybe 25 seconds to call a timeout today.
You're talking about on the fourth down?
When they decided to go and kick the field goal?
Is that what you're talking about?
No, in the fourth quarter when Pittsburgh had their last drive and it was like 2 minutes left.
Oh, no. There was about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, something like that. And instead of calling a timeout at the time, he was going to wait for him to try to stop him on third down, which they had to run a play well before the two-minute warning. Mm-hmm. You were going to lose time somewhere, and even if you stop him on third down there, then they're going to run clock until they punt it. So That didn't wind up costing them. It was going to come out in the wash either way because of the two-minute warning. But the other time, absolutely.
And then also about the drops by Mike Thomas and the drops by Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes, I know he's Marco's man, but
Marco might have broken up with him today.
I don't mess with him no more, man. Until he does. Monday night is the day that I decide whether I still deal with him. If he shows up Monday night, I'm back on his bandwagon.
He's had Mike Thomas, he's got the most targets. I don't like that stat, though. But Mike Thomas has had a few drops that could have been first downs. Mercedes had an open drop, could have been a first down. And that's just not what Mercedes is normally like.
Well, it hasn't been the last couple of years. I mean, it looks like he's reverting to the way he played
as a rookie.
You know, the
man.
first couple of years where he couldn't, you know, where his hands just weren't as good. And, you know, again, I know when the offense is going better, everybody kind of gets into a rhythm and it looks better, but he has not helped the cause in the passing game. He's still blocking very well, but he's not helping the cause in terms of the passing game.
Exactly, and Mercedes is the guy, he's the X factor in the offense. You know, you have Jones Drew to carry the load, and then Mike Thomas, who's truly a slot receiver, and then Mercedes is the big guy who you've got to go to.
He hasn't gotten it done all year. That is true. But I think early though, they weren't using him. And I'm not sure if that may be even affecting him as the season goes on.
Yeah, but catch the ball.
I'm with you. I'm digging deep. Man. Trying to
you don't want to break. You're trying to save the relationship. I got you.
But he's got to perform better, man. He's got to do better. You know, when you have those guys of that caliber on that team, you got that rookie, they have to give him the support he needs to be successful. They have to, and they're not doing it.
All right, Sean, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Had a tweet here. Where did that go? Well, one guy says, no use tweeting you. You only read the positive tweets. Not true. Just read the good ones. All right, coaches or players to blame for this one? You have to pick one.
I have to pick one, coaches or players?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you do, but this is what the tweeter did.
I'm picking the players.
Okay.
I'm picking the players because there's no way that I go into Pittsburgh, or as a team, the players go into Pittsburgh, a team that with historic history, a team that, you know, it's the middle of October. I mean, this is the football season, and you're not fired up to begin to start the game. You know, the way they were playing, they were getting manhandled. Okay. It was not so much of the execution. They were physically getting beat up.
They weren't getting off blocks.
They were physically getting beat up. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the first part of that game, seemed like they wanted that game more than the Jaguars. And if you're 1-4, you got to want to win more than a team like that. You got, especially going to their house, the mind state when you're going to play playing away, it's completely different than being at home. You have to have the eye of the tiger.
Another tweet here asking, do players or training staff know the difference between being hurt and being injured? 3 weeks for a stinger, 4 weeks for an elbow, come on.
Well, that's the league right now. You know, they're really, you know, honing in on the safety of the players, and a lot of things that, you know, 10 years ago or so may have been just some things that you say, okay, let's wrap it up, give them some Motrin and send them back out there. Now that's keeping you out of games, you know, so I'm all for the safety of the players, but I think also as players you got to stand up and say, you know, this is something minor and I can go.
Well, again, one of my pet peeves is sitting there and telling somebody else that you know how much pain they're in. You don't know. Is Eugene Monroe, is the stinger really that big of a problem? He says it is. Training staff saying it is. I mean, other than you just being disgruntled at the fact that the team isn't winning and you're going to blame everything on everybody, do you have anything to say that it's not? I mean, you know, just remember this. At one point somebody said, he got a groin injury, he dropped the football, Fred Taylor. He tore the muscle off the bone. You didn't know it right away. So just know that you can sit there and question somebody's toughness, but you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, how severe it may be. But at the same time, you know, everyone out there is playing with an injury, and only that guy knows how severe that injury is. But when you're at the point where your team desperately needs all hands on deck, you're going to have to go through some pain in order to get the team back on track, to help get the team back on track. And again, he only knows how bad he's feeling.
800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Arlington. Jeff is up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jeff, how you doing?
Jeff.
Hi, guys.
What's happening?
I guess it's been thrown back and forth, but I think after 9 years, it's time for Del Rio to go. I think the players are just, I ain't saying laying down for him, but I don't think Del Rio has their respect anymore. Yeah. And how long was Coughlin here? About 7-8 years?
Coughlin, let's see, 8 years, right? Yeah.
96, but at least he did some production.
95 to 2002,
He got them to the championship game twice. He got them in the playoffs, I don't know how many times. The last few years, he just basically lost it there too. This guy's here 9 years, one playoff season. Okay. I mean,
well,
and
two playoff seasons, by the way, just for the sake of. Okay. Remember, 2005, they went and lost in New England. So, but
that's how memorable it was.
Right. Yeah.
But I would really love, if we can't get Cower, I would love to see Jeff Fisher here.
You know, I have heard more people bring up Jeff Fisher in the last 2 or 3 weeks to me.
I mean, he dominated this house in 99 anyway.
Well, and you know exactly what the headline would be, right? Fisher comes home.
I mean, I don't know. The players respond to him.
Yeah, and
that's what I think is going on here. Players are not really responding to Del Rio. After a while, you lose that.
Yeah, I don't think it's that the players are not. I really don't see that it's a lack of response right now. I have covered a couple of coaches where I thought at some point the message just wasn't sinking in as it did. But in retro, and that's Marty Schottenheimer and Tom Coughlin. Both those guys are different personality types than Del Rio. But one of the things that I look back on that and say, the Jaguars roster was really not very good at all at the end of Coughlin's time. They, salary cap had problems. It just created, a real issue. Right. And so I don't know that can happen, that the message stops being heard. But sometimes it's just players have gotten old, or players aren't good enough, and sometimes the coaching staff isn't good enough.
Like San Francisco, you got Harbaugh in there now. He's doing fantastic.
Yeah. So, listen.
Players are responding.
Sometimes it's about how a player responds to the coach. Sometimes it's about the X's and O's. Sometimes it's about the decision making, the environment that's created. There's a lot of different things that a coach is responsible for.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, like bottom line, I really like to see the Cower, or like I said, Jeff Fisher. I think he would be a big plus for this team.
Well, those are certainly probably the two biggest name guys. Gruden's name gets brought up a lot too, but those are the names that people talk about. We'll see, Jeff. I appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
Again, they were playing a lot of what ifs.
Right.
Jack Del Rio still has a job. If they were to take that next step, I would give you better than even money that it would likely it's probably not going to be a $8 or $10 million a year coach or whatever the number would be. It's not, you're not going to pay $5 or $6 or $7 million. Probably, probably.
Well,
it could happen, but I would be a little surprised if it would be that.
Well, you're going to have to make, I think a change is definitely going to be necessary. I mean, not only with Jack, I do like Gene, but here it is the third season that he's been here.
You and I have a disagreement on Gene.
And I don't think that the players that they have are of the caliber that some of them that are in here. I mean, I think that is, when you ask whether it was the player, I think it is the players. They're not making enough plays. And you have guys that shouldn't be there. You redo a contract for a guy, and Mike Thomas that, he's just an average player. You can wait till next year to get another guy like Mike Thomas. You don't have to redo his contract and give him more money, So I have a I think you let go both guys and bring in and take care of the whole situation with somebody that legitimately.
You think you want one guy to handle both roles?
Well, they'll bring
that
in
doesn't work so well.
They'll bring in their people. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be the deal.
They
bring in their people and allow them to do it. Allow somebody that has had some experience. I don't think you mess around at this point. You figure you've had four seasons of begging for people to come in and buy tickets. It's time to give the people what they want.
Well, it's time to give them wins.
Exactly.
That's
and I
what
think
it is.
And if you keep on with the status quo, which would be keeping Gene, I don't think you're going to get too much of a difference, because now you're going to keep the same players, but now you're going to ask somebody, keep the same groceries and ask somebody to use the same ingredients to cook a different meal.
Well, hold on now. Do you want the same guy in charge of personnel as is in charge of coaching?
You won't have the same. I mean,
okay, I just want to make sure you're not talking about having one man in charge of every, like Coughlin was here.
Well, look, the guys like the Cowers and the Fishers, they've had those roles as to how to go about being in charge of managing the team, because they would have you had a general manager at
Tennessee.
Pittsburgh,
yep.
And at Tennessee, yep. But the collaboration, and they'll come along with somebody that can get it done. Now, Gene may be the guy that all those guys think that they could work with, but that's going to mean changing to some things as it pertains to the players, because what Gene likes is going to be different than what a guy like Fisher and Cowher wants to see.
And again, well, maybe. And again, one of the issues is these are all hypothetical situations.
Sure, it's all hypothetical.
But if you bring in a coach and then you say, tell the coach, you like the GM? Well, then who's in charge? You've just told the coach he's in charge.
Well, if you keep the general manager, he's going to have the role of picking the coach.
And that exactly. And so you've got to decide how things going to be structured. Somebody's got to be.
If Gene is kept, Gene's picking the coach.
I think his input will certainly be heard.
Gene is going to pick the coach.
We'll see. 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351. Let's go to Richard on the north side who wants to talk about Rasheen. Richard, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call again.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, we say, I heard the callers before say something about Rasheen and you know, you guys are fan machine saying that, you know, the guys make a good play. You know, you can't do nothing with a good play. But it seems to, well, they always throw the Rasheen's way because they know Rasheen is that star, which in turn goes to the fact, well, Rasheen hasn't been good ever since Donovan Darris left him. When Donovan Darris left him alone, he just crashed. And because he didn't have that safety net. And that's why they picked up Nelson. But then, once again, with Gene Smith being the person that he is, picked up a person that wouldn't play to that kind of caliber. Second, I talked about last week how fourth down last week, how we was on the 2-3 times and we didn't go for it on fourth down. Here it is, fourth and six on the 27. The same kind of scenario we had the first drive, I think it was the first drive of the last home game. We had the same scenario. He went for it then, but he didn't go for it this time.
It wasn't the same scenario.
I mean, it wasn't the same quarter and whatnot. I mean,
it was also fourth and six from the 27 rather than
the 26. I mean, it wasn't yard, but I mean, still though. We need desperate. I mean, we're real desperate for a win, but he went and kicked the field goal. You guys said yourself last week, field goals aren't going to cut it.
Now, here, let me tell you what I felt about the fourth down decision there. First of all, I thought he should have immediately known to go and kick the field goal. All right, that means you don't waste a timeout. You have that ready. It was, I think, fourth and four before that, or third and four before that. You lost yardage. Get the kicking team out there. Get them ready. Be ready to go so you don't have to waste a timeout. Secondly, the reason why I think it's the right thing to do to kick the field goal there, your defense has been dominant in this and Pittsburgh's offense has been bad. The combination, Pittsburgh hadn't had a first down to that point. Mm-hmm. So if you save your timeouts there, all right, you go out there, you kick the field goal, you're down 14, all you have to do is make a stop on defense, get the ball back, then you have you're gonna have an opportunity to move the ball down the field and get a shot at it. If you go for it right there on fourth and six, first of all, if you make it, that's great, but there's no guarantee that you're going to score a touchdown beyond that, and you basically put yourself in a position where you have to, it's not that much different because now you have to have the touchdown because the time it would likely take to get the field goal, you're talking about changing the scenario there. So I think it was the right decision to go for the field goal. They should have known about it earlier on. That needs to be something you already had decided before the previous play. You have to know if we gain X, we'll go for it. If it's fourth and two, let's go for it. If it's fourth and four or more, we're not going to – whatever. You know, make that decision ahead of time. Be thinking ahead so you don't have – that's the thing that sometimes you look at and you say, well, why didn't they consider the possibility? You don't have to consider every single little minute possibility, but why don't you consider – the most likely scenario, so you're ready for it when it happens.
Yeah, kind of thinking beyond that play. I mean, you hear about a lot of coaches that are already a play ahead, regardless of what's going on. They've already thought out, we get 2 yards, or we get no yards, you know, whatever the case may be. But it doesn't seem like a decision is made until right then. And then, you know, the clock is ticking. You got to be, have to think fast, or, you know, and then it ends up putting the team, as we saw, you know, in a bad situation.
There's just been a lot of details this year that have just fallen through the cracks, and that's frustrating.
We have to get somebody who knows how to pick an offense coordinator, knows how to, you know, coordinate an offense, because right now the Herman Boone that we got now, and I call Dirk Cutter Herman Boone because, you know, Herman Boone only had 6 plays, just like Novocaine, always give it time, always works, but it's not working this time. You know, it's we can't keep throwing screen after screen after screen. I mean, screens, they don't work. I mean, they do not work, and it's just like the option play in the NFL.
Sure worked when they threw it out there to who were we watching it on?
Hines Ward.
Hines Ward.
Yeah, Hines Ward. Yeah, but I mean, it for us with the kind of people, what kind of personnel that we have, with the kind of personnel that Gene Smith set us with, we can't do that. I mean, it's proven one time and time again we are the number one team that stole screens in the NFL. Number one team.
Well, that was in the past, and we'll see what happens this year when you start totaling those up. I'm fine with utilizing the screen. Sometimes a screen pass is a great play. You got to use it at the right time, and then you got to execute it.
Right.
Okay.
And you got to catch the ball.
Well, you got to catch it, and then you got to have somebody make a block for you. Then you got to get out. Some of the timings of it sometimes makes me go, oof, really? Throwing a screen on,
third and 12.
Third and 12. throwing a wide receiver screen on third
down? Wide receiver screen. I think a screen would have been a good play in that instance, but she either Deji or MJD.
Yeah, yeah. All right, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Come back with a carry of the day, plus more of your calls. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show continues here on Jaguars Radio. Back here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, Cole Pemper, Marco Coleman here. Time now for the carry of the day. It's presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. What about the carry of the day today, going, Mr. Coleman?
Not MJD today.
Oh, going a little different.
I'm going with the quarterback.
Ah.
On that fourth down. Yeah, man. I thought that was a big play to keep the drive going. Then right afterward, connect for a touchdown play. Man, that was a really big-time play by Gabbert to evade the rush and pick up the first time.
Gabbert's got some mobility. He ran a very good 40 time, for what that matters for a quarterback, but he can move around all right.
He's just got to work on his pocket awareness, you know, which I think, that's
just the case with almost every rookie. Yeah,
and that's just experience. Yep. That's just experience.
More time in there, and that's certainly a positive thing. Get him more time in there and let him learn. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Eric in Mandarin, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, hey guys, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hey, first of all, in the last away game, Cole, you put up on Facebook about come get some ribs, and then like Marco devoured them all. You never like saved any for me.
I tried to stand in his way. He went through me like Indominus Rue through a JV line.
I'm gonna tell you, I get real nasty when some ribs are thrown in front of me.
Well, hey, y'all got to give me a call next time. Give me a heads up. You know, not saying give me the snap count. Just let me know. All right, no, I've been a fan since day one of the Jaguars. I mean, my second ever job was with the organization. Way back in the Tony Bracken, you know, Big John Henderson, Yurko, Baselli, Hollis Dave. Always been a fan, always will be a fan. Cole, you mentioned earlier, though, you know, for some reason, Rasheen's kind of become a lightning rod.
Yep.
I've been talking to some people, and just my point of view as a know-nothing fan is, Rasheen used to have a lot of closing speed, and so he played a soft coverage on a receiver, and he had enough closing speed that once the ball was in the air, he could meet the ball, you know, sometimes just step in front, take it on full stride, sometimes just knock it away. It almost seems like he's lost that step just a little bit, so now he's getting there just after, and he's then having struggles trying to make those open field tackles.
There may be some validity to that. I also think one of the issues that he had was that the safety play last year was so bad that he was trying to do too much. Safety play's been better this year, and he's been better this year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've been talking, you know, how he's kind of stepped it up a little bit. I just think that, you know, he relied too much on his feet, and he's getting kind of older and for the NFL. And
well, I'm just glad that I'm the only guy who's not slowing down as I get older. So that I have a hard time empathizing.
So, I mean, other than that, I love the way Blaine's looking in the backfield and in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the decision was made right. He's the future of the NFL, of the team, not the NFL, hopefully. But we just got to hold on for the next little bit of the ride and see where it goes from here because, you know, you got to keep reminding yourself,
great quarterbacks. Look at Indianapolis without Peyton Manning and – they haven't won a game yet. I mean, that's exactly how much of a difference. That's how many, you know, soft spots a great quarterback covers up. You know? I mean, it's just...
Oh, exactly. So, and look at Peyton Manning's very first rookie year, if you want to compare rookie to rookie. It was what, 28 touchdowns, 25 interceptions in the first year?
Set an interception record. But, you know, again, I'm not comparing Gabbert to Manning at this point, but I think anybody who has watched Gabbert says, you know what, all right, yeah, I can see he's got some. He's got to develop. He's got to get some experience. He's got to have, you know, have a few more weapons around him. But he's got it looks like he's got what it takes, and it's a matter of will he develop that way. So we'll see how it plays out. All right,
now,
Eric.
Next time, y'all going to save me some food for next time?
I'll do my best, man. You're going to have a hot second if those ribs come across.
All right,
Eric, man. We'll see you later.
800-355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Buddy in Arlington is up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Buddy, how you doing?
Good. How y'all doing, guys?
All right. What's on your mind?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I'm going to have to agree with Marco. I think we need to hire Bill Cowart and make him the head coach and the general manager.
Well, let me. Why do you think having the same guy do both roles is a good idea?
Well, because
if you can point out to me some other occasions where that's worked out well lately in the NFL, I'd like to hear them.
Well, look at Bill Cowart's record.
He was, yeah, as a coach, he was not the personnel guy in Pittsburgh. No, he was not the bottom line. He was not the personnel guy. He was in charge of coaching them.
Well, okay, let me just say this. I don't think Gene Smith should be the general manager. I just don't think he's good at it. I don't think he can pick out talent, and I don't like the guy. And, you know, Del Rio is, you know, he's overstayed his welcome. It's time for him to go. But, you know, we need to bring somebody in here who knows how to win, that has won, that knows what victory is like, who knows what a Super Bowl is like, and come in here and take over this team and coach these people. And, you know, and if they can't perform like they need to perform, put them down the road. And I don't think Bill Cowart had that problem. People talk about Gruden. Gruden won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team.
Agreed.
So I just don't think he'd be a good fit. But,
and I'm not sure that he'd want to leave the spotlight of the TV booth and make it all that money.
He'll be exposed, yeah. Maybe he wasn't all that hot.
But if you come out, to the game, I guess he's on the Sunday night crew, isn't he?
Yeah.
Monday night crew.
We'll
that's right. Yeah, we'll
night.
See him on Monday. You can ask him about it. You come out to the come out to the game on Monday.
But you know, I think it's not so much a getting rid of Gene. It's about bringing someone in here that will change. The culture of the team, the mind state, the way the whole aura right now. The team needs to go back to being the type of team that so many people have gotten used to what the Jaguars are. They're just physical, tough. I'm gonna tell you when they first came around, teams didn't want to see the Jaguars, you know, because of type of game was gonna be. It's just like what people think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, that toughness. You knew you were in for a physical battle, and right now. Teams don't feel that way, and they haven't felt that way about the Jaguars probably in the last 3 to 4 seasons. So it just needs to be someone that, whether that's having Gene here or not, I think it's just advantageous for that decision to be made in that regard.
All right, buddy, thanks for the call. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll take time out, come back with some final calls, tweets, and thoughts as we continue on here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show after the Jaguars' loss in Pittsburgh on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. A couple of minutes left before we call it an evening. And look forward to a long week before Monday Night Football. Paul in Ortega is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Paul, how you doing?
Great, guys. This is, I guess, a FYI, but I was listening to, you know, the couple of minutes before the game started on CBS and Dan Fouts, and I forget the other commentator. And I guess they were alluding to Del Rio's subpar record and his consecutive losses. But he said, you know, well, Del Rio tells us he is who he is. He is not going to change. And he's been around football long enough. And I'm thinking, no, that's a pretty egotistical thing to be saying. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Okay.
I just don't want to watch you. What y'all thought about that?
Well, I agree. I don't think he's going to change.
Yeah, he said numerous times in press conference, and again, if you listen to this show religiously, you know my warning about what is said in press conferences. You have to make sure you have it in context and take it with a grain of salt because everybody knows it's on the record for everybody else. But Del Rio has said that he believes in his system, he believes in his approach, and he's going to stay with it. So... that, you know, I think it's probably something along those same lines. You know, it's a courage of your convictions, and then you live or die if your convictions are right or wrong.
There it is.
Yeah, and also, and I can remember it was either last year when the Gators were 45 points ahead, and Urban Meyer in the third quarter had a special teams hold, and he ran out on that field and yanked him all the way in to the bench by his face mask. And I remember a game where we had two holes by the same lineman in one set of downs, and he comes off and he pats him on the rear. And I'm just thinking, you know, we need a little more intensity than that. We need a little more something than such a player's code. That's just, you know, my opinion.
Well,
again, but
let me say this about and I don't know the specific occasion you're talking about with the sometimes a player needs a pat on the back. Sometimes he needs a kick in the pants. And the best coaches recognize that the best way to motivate a player, and it's not always the same. You know, some guys are carrot, some guys are stick, and some guys are always carrot or always. But you know, some guys need a little motivation. It's this the best coaches, and this is not just football. This is in professional sports. I think it's also, you know, in business. You know, managers in business know how to motivate the people you know, below them, and it's a very impressive talent when you find somebody who can
it's going to be a different
motivate
way
whoever they want.
It's going to be a different way of motivating a player in college than it is in the pros.
Oh, I mean, sure.
You look at what's going on in college. You got boys in college that you can come up and you can grab them and you can.
Right.
But in the NFL, you know, a lot of times the players are making more than the coach. So,
right.
You know, and in most instances.
Sometimes in college that happens too.
You know what I mean?
It depends on where you go.
And we're finding that out now with all these infractions.
Right. Well, thanks, guys. Y'all are. Keep up the good work. I love listening to the post.
All right, Paul. All right. We appreciate it. All right. That'll be our final call of the evening. We'll call tonight. Final thoughts so here, Marco. 1-5. Where do you go from here?
Hey, they just got to, you know, circle the wagons and get ready for Monday night. They can't think beyond that and get some urgency. Want it from the opening whistle. Don't wait till the second half.
All right, here's what we have coming up this week. Tomorrow night, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. I'll sit down with the general manager, 6 o'clock. On Tuesday, the Jack Del Rio Show, Brian Sexton, the head coach. And then on Wednesday, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher will have conversation about the Jaguars and their 1-5 start and where they go from here. Jaguars had some opportunities today, had them slip through their hands, sometimes figuratively, sometimes literally. In the end, it was too little too late. Jaguars did show some resilience. Team is hanging together. Second half is proof of that when they dominated the total yardage 141-55, but could not get it done on the scoreboard. Jaguars lose it 17-13 to the Pittsburgh Steelers to fall to 1-5 on the season. For Marco Coleman, for Ed Rocco, for Linda Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguars Central.